بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم. Recite few verses of Qasida Burda Sharif inshallah.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أمن تذكر جيران بذي سلام مزجت دمعا جرى من مقلة بدمي. أمن تذكر جيران بذي سلام مزجت دمعا جرى من مقلة بدمي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. محمد سيد القونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. محمد سيد القونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون به مستمسكون بحبل غير منفصم. دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون به مستمسكون بحبل غير منفصم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحمي مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وذي العثمان ذي الكرم ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وذي العثمان ذي الكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله the couplets of the Qasida Burda Sharif was recited all in praise of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and as per the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hamid Ahmaduddin Al-Ali, that what tongues do we have to really praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat is saying that Allah and His malaika send salawat and durood upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in compassion, real compassion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, oh, you people of Iman, you also send, you also engage in this activity. Now, sending durood and salat and salam upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we, His mortals, of course, we're sending it. For Allah to send means that every split moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's focus, His attention is focused towards Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, elevating the status and rank of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the malaika are always sending durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah is commanding us to do so. Then we say that, oh Allah, what tongues do we have? With these tongues we tell lies, with these tongues we backbite, with these tongues we do everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our islah. So wherever there is durood to be recited, then we say, Allahumma salli. That, oh Allah, on our behalf, you send the salawat, you send the salam upon the Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Shaykh Sa'adi Shirazi rahmatullah alayhi said, that ba'daz khuda buzur tuhi qissa muqtasar. That, oh Allah, O Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can we praise you? What was the condition of humanity at the time of the advent of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in with those people, that the rulers of the time did not want to even rule over them. Like how we have superpowers in our time, so to say, that they call themselves superpowers, the policemen of the world, so to say. In that time also, the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, they didn't want to rule over the Arabs. They said that you are so downtrodden, you are the servants of our slaves. How can we even rule upon you? You are so downtrodden. And we know, we read about the Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, what was the condition of humanity. What was, we read that they buried their daughters alive, as they inherited the mothers, and they fought with one another for decades, so much so that they even forgot the reason for the arguments and the battle and the feuds. They even forgot what they were fighting for. It took so long. If we think of those times, and let us remember that we are living in times which are even worse than that. Every day we'll read in the papers that the baby was dumped here, that one was raped there, that one was mugged here, there's no safety, there's no... Then, so, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came at that time, that imagine from the time of Isa ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, approximately 600 years had passed. No reminder, no warner in between. Before Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there were always messengers in the world guiding people in different areas, different places. The Anbiya sent to different clans, different tribes, different villages, different places. But from the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam till Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, nobody in between. And people went astray. How far astray they went. Then Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into this world and taught us what it is to be a human being. What it is, what were the rights of neighbors, what are the rights of parents, what are the rights of children, what are the rights of elders, what are the rights of youngsters, what is the right of the spouse, and all these things. So much so, one time, a person came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and complained about his son. That the son is disobedient to me, he doesn't listen to me. But before he could be reprimanded, the son responded and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the first person to be given the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen, said, can I ask you a question? He said, yes. So what is the right of the children over the parents? What is the right of the son over the father? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned a few rights on that occasion, that the child must be given a good name, that the mother must have been a person who is a noble woman, and the child must have been given a ta'lim of Quran Sharif. And the son responded and said, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, in all three aspects, my father did not fulfill my right. He gave me such a name, which has got a bad meaning, that I feel ashamed that I be called by that name. And he married such a woman, my mother is not a noble woman, that people can always point a finger at me. And he never ever gave me ta'lim of Quran Sharif. From there, there is a great lesson for us with regard to ta'lim of Quran Sharif and ta'lim of deen. That Sayyidina Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world, وَعِفْتُ مُعَلِّمًا, I've been sent as a teacher. And what did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come and teach us? Teach us deen. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come and teach us geography, history, mathematics, science, physics, all these things. This is all information and it changes with time. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to teach us the aspects of deen. One time, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala wa majma'in came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made mashura regarding their farming. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them his opinion. They did as they were told, that yet they suffered a little bit losses in their farming. They came back, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, that you are more knowledgeable, antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum, you are more knowledgeable with regard to the aspects and affairs of your worldly matters. From this we see that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to teach us deen. And now this child is telling his father, that he is telling Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, my father didn't give me the ta'lim of Quran Sharif. He didn't teach me Quran Sharif. From the time I was small, he made me tend to the animals, made me a shepherd. Today our children, they're a little bit weak in whatever mathematics, English, what lengths we will go to have them, to get them tuition, we'll pay the enormous fees, and we'll see to it that our daughters were already Baligha, will go after Maghrib and after Isha for tuition all alone. And how to pick them up. Even we've gone on a holiday, we make arrangements. We've gone somewhere. This one must drop them off and that one must pick them up. And they can't miss out that. But when last did we give our child ta'lim of Quran Sharif? And I'm speaking about myself, our children. So to say grade 5, grade 6, grade 7. Now the child is 13 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old. The child has reached the age of understanding. A child now can grasp matters. Now we can teach a child in Madrasa Kitab al-Janaiz regarding Janaza, Kitab al-Nikah, aspects of Nikah, Kitab al-Zakat, all these things. Now when the child can grasp, now we say the school homework is too much and we take the child out of the maktab, take the child out of the madrasa. And then what was the child's age? 13, 14. We made the child go till matric, grade 12, whatever it is. Another 5, 6 years, child didn't pick up Quran Sharif. Then he went to college, varsity, whatever the case may be. Took up some skill, became a carpenter, plumber, whatever it was, became a doctor, engineer, took another 5, 6, 7 years. Now the child is 23, 24, 25 years old. Now the child must get married. Now he got married. Then he went to work. Then he had a child. Now that child became 6 years old, 7 years old. By that time, my beta is now already 30, 31 years old. And now the child was in grade plus 1, and Malana was teaching in the madrasa, Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, whatever it was, and he came home to ask Abba, help me with this. Abba felt so ashamed because Abba doesn't know. He forgot when last he read Quran Sharif? When he was 13 years old, when he was 14 years old. So when it comes to our dunyawi aspects, Then we go to lengths to give the children ta'aleem and tuition, etc. But when it comes to dini matters, then we are so lax, as the poet said so beautifully, ke ta'ajjub hai teri aqal par, ke ye dunya mein kya kya kar gayi, lekin woh deen mein kahan mar gayi. I'm so surprised at your intellect, that with your affairs of dunya, how far you went, what didn't you achieve? You went to the moon. You made the cell phone, you made the fax. The fax is now outdated, all these things. All this technology that you had. Ta'ajjub hai teri aqal par. Really we're surprised at your accomplishments. Ke dunya mein kya kya kar gaye, in your worldly matters, how far you excelled, how far you reached. Lekin deen mein wo kahan mar gaye? When it came to aspects of deen, now, well, what happened to your intellect? Then we ask the woman, that what happened to the intellect of your, what happened to your parda? Say, wo mardon ke aklo pe pad gayi. Then my parda fell onto the brains of my husband, onto our menfolk. That now, deeny aspects, we totally lax. We just don't worry. We couldn't care. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the world at such a time when humanity was in the doldrums, at a total ebb, totally gone, forgotten the purpose of life. Did not know why we came. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions us in Quran Sharif, that do you think we've just created you in tomfoolery? That we have created you without any purpose? That you're not going to return to us? Allah, Ahkamul Hakimin, the wisest of all those who are wise. The one who has created wisdom. The one who is that Hakim, yeah? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if man does anything, and he doesn't do anything without a purpose, everything has got an object behind it. Person manufactures something, there's an object behind it. Made the car to take you from point A to point B. Whatever the case may be, whatever a person does, he's got an object behind it. He's going out to work. His object to earn a living, to fulfill his responsibilities. Man does not do anything without purpose, without object. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ahkamul Hakimin, the greatest, the wisest of all those who have got wisdom. Will Allah do anything without any object? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created us so that we can recognize Him, we can worship Him, we can see Him. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Don't you look in yourselves, don't you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How your eyes are functioning, how the kidney is functioning, how the liver is functioning, how you're hearing, how you're feeling, all the five senses, all these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a purpose. And that is what Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to teach us. بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I have come as a teacher to teach you, to make you a human being, to take you back to your objective, to take you back to the heart of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجِعُونَ. Do you think that you are not going to return to us? Definitely you're going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world, such a time when people were totally lost, people forgot the object of life, came back to link us again with our Creator. And made, we'll see that those people who are now in the doldrums, and we say, as we say, ayyam jahiliya. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtured them and molded them, then we got Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Then we got Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu ta'ala. Then we got Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala. Then we got Ali Haider radiyallahu ta'ala. What type of people? Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala majma'in. That when they went out, then they used to tell the people, kunu mislana. Become like us. We want you to become like us. We want peace to prevail in the world. We want you to live a nice life. We want you to live a good life. We want you to live a life that you can be a human being. Can we say that? Kunu mislana. Can I say that? I'm speaking for myself. That kunu mislana, become like me. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came at that time. And then the same people, even in today's time, we say this ism and that ism and capitalism and communism and democracy and I don't know what types of systems of rule. If, as our Hazrat says, even in today's time, if the non-Muslims have to take upon the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if they don't bring iman, even if they don't believe, you will see the benefit of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll see that how Islam spread in the world. The people just saw Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and Majmeen. So that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. That send salat and salam upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attention is always focused that way. And Allah is always elevating the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Malaika are always sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as our Shaykh teaches us, it says that if a person comes to know that there's a company which is thousands of years old, and this company never ever suffered losses any debt. They never, their balance sheet is always just going up and up and up. And their profits are not in the, it is in the thousands of percent. And now somebody offers you that you can buy some shares in this company. Then you won't go and make mashura with anybody. You won't go and ask that, should I invest in this company or not? Whatever you've got, your money, your wife's money, the children's money, whatever savings, even if it means you can take a few loans here and there, you will invest in this company because, you know, this company is just prospering all the time and is making mega, mega, mega profits. So you won't make mashura. You will try and get involved, especially if you are being by the CEO of the company. He's telling you, buy some shares here. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one partner. And so to say, the malaika, the other partner, then inna Allah wa malaikatahu. That Allah the one partner, malaika the angels, the other partner. What is their work? They are spending salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, giving you the offer. That you also, who believe it, you also send salat and salam. We don't have to make mashara. And as our Shaykh said, let us not start with a long durood and take so much upon ourselves that we cannot manage. Today we do so much and tomorrow we fizzle out. Let us start small, short durood. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can do it while walking, we can do it while driving, we can do it all the time while working, you engage in your work at the office, whatever. All the time you can say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, what type of Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with? That we sending, one poet says in Urdu so beautifully, Ajab hai mere Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, surprise, you know, it's surprising. That I send durood to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is a benefit to me. I'm the beneficiary. It's not that it's benefiting my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way. That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever will send durood upon me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send 10 blessings upon him. Allah will elevate his status 10 ranks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive 10 of his sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sort out 10 of his matters. So much benefit. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah, aktharuhum alayya salatan. Those who send durood upon me in abundance the most, that they always send durood and salat and salam upon me, they will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. And again, as for the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh, one is closeness in proximity, that I'm right sitting like next to you, standing, talking to you. One is, you are living in one part of the world, your son is living in another part of the world, but you've got close, you've got an attachment. You don't see him daily, but the feeling is there. And so whatever, in whichever way, the closest on the day of Qiyamah to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be those who send durood and salawat and salam in abundance upon Sayyidina Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are going to be the beneficiaries. And why not? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each and every Nabi who came into this world, each and every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was blessed with one dua, which was most certainly accepted. And all of them used it, so they made their dua. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that I have reserved my dua for the day of Qiyamah. And that also, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reserve it for himself. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reserved it for our benefit. That on that day, when everybody will be in turmoil, when the wrath of anger and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they speak, the day of Qiyamah, 50,000 years long, the sun not even a few meters away from the head, the ground of melting copper, people drowning their perspiration according to their sins. On that day when the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will be frightened to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, people will go, that, oh, our grandfather, you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you himself. You are our great grandfather. Intercede on our behalf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, today I cannot. What if Allah has to ask me about the mistake that we should remember, that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah has kept them ma'asoom, they are innocent. They have not committed any guna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them from his disobedience. Yes, as human beings, they were human beings, made human errors, mistakes, different error in judgment, whatever the case may be. So, this mistake that I did, that I ate from the forbidden fruit, what if Allah asks me about it? Go to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you are Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our behalf. No. I, in my lifetime, had spoken three truths, not lies, but it could have been interpreted as a lie. That who is this? This is my sister, this is my wife. sustain Islam, because the king was taking away anybody who said it's his spouse, right? So he said, my sister, it's not a lie. Sustain Islam, but it could be interpreted as a lie. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked me about things like that today, what will be my condition? Oh, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, you are Ruhullah. I speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. No. Today I cannot speak to Allah. What if Allah must ask me that my nation made me a deity? They made me a god. Did I send you for this, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? Did I send you into the dunya to become a god? What if Allah must ask me? So imagine, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, I have been created for this purpose. And that dua I have reserved for my ummah. On that day, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he'll make a sajda 1500 years long. And it says that I will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such words which will be inspired to me then. I do not know them now. And that dua Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will then use to intercede on behalf of the ummah. So why shouldn't we send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why shouldn't we send salat? Then we should start with the small ones. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-ummi. As much as we can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with understanding. This is a discourse, a lecture of our illustrious Shaykh Hamid Sahib Abdullah Ali, which was actually a talk to the women folk in a ladies' program. So Hazrat Wala started addressing the women folk, saying, my mother, respected mothers and sisters, it concerns sabr and shukr, gratitude, gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was passing in the marketplace, passing somewhere, and he heard one person making dua, that Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel, that Allah, make me from the minority, make me from those people who are few. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, what type of dua is this, if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you from the minority? He said, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so in Quran Sharif, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. There are very few people who really show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very few people who show real gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah make me from those few who really show gratitude and gratefulness and thankfulness to you for your bounties. And here again the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh, Damat Barakatuhum, that daily we should take out some time to show gratitude and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors upon us. First of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with existence. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us out of nothing and created us. He made and then out of in His wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and felt it best to create us as insan. If Allah wanted, Allah could make me a swine that people should see me and it should be la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah could have made me a snake that people see me and kill me. Allah could have made me anything, but Allah chose me to make me a human being. So daily take out some time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, you granted me existence, and after giving me existence, you chose to make me a human being. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you gave me birth in a Muslim home. How many people, millions, in fact the majority of people around the world are non-believers. They don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very, very, very few, a small proportion, get the tawfiq and the hidayat of looking for the truth, searching for the truth and coming into the fold. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made us insan, but gave us birth in a non-Muslim home, and then we would have not got the tawfiq of finding out the truth? What would our end be? What would it have been in the akhirah? So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with iman, take us with iman, resurrect us with iman. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily that Allah, you made me a human being. You gave me birth in a Muslim home. Allah, blessed me with iman. Allah, you saved me from kufr, from shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru ay yushraka bihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, ever, ever forgive that a person dies in a condition of shirk, a kafir or a non-believer, one who ascribes partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, ever, ever pardon. Anything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon His discretion, upon His wish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you gave me birth in a Muslim home, you saved me from kufr, you saved me from shirk. That kufr and shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Sharif, inna shirk la zulmun azim. Inna shirk, inna, emphasis. Shirk, to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La, the lam is for emphasis. So the word inna for emphasis, the lam ya for more emphasis. La zulmun azim, azim, very great, very, very big. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying shirk is a very, very, very big sin. It is a great oppression. It's a zulm. Allah is using the word zulm. So here he's saying, Allah, you saved me from kufr, you saved me from shirk. We should take out some time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Hazrat Allah starts this bayan with that same aspect with regard to iman, that iman is a great ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Allah explains it here, inshallah we'll come to you just now. So we should take out some time daily to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ni'mat which normally we just take for granted. We don't even think about it, that Allah blessed me with iman. This is a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, Abu Talib, what a person who did everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did not allow anybody to even lift an eyelid towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not anything. But he did not accept. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his deathbed went to him, that, oh my uncle, just say it once, that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, I can intercede on your behalf. I can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Please, but the uncle died without accepting. This is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot give guidance to who you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomsoever He wants. And just in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to make us insan, and then He blessed us with iman. He gave us birth in a Muslim home. He saved us from the kufr and shirk, etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq of coming to the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us health. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us spouses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees to our responsibilities. Allah has given us clothing. See what is the condition in Syria. What is the condition in Burma? What is the condition in Palestine? What is people don't get food for days on end. If a baby is crying in a mother's hand, what must be the condition of that mother? That I wish to give the breasts have dried up. The child is crying and screaming. Yesterday we had what type of heat? In that type of the heat of the Middle East or whatever, what conditions it must be? No houses, no dwellings, living in tents, living in the open. Allah has given us everything. Allah, they say the rain was nice. The watermelons are very nice. The mangoes are so sweet. We can choose, pick and choose. That Allah, you have given us different fruit. Allah, you have given us what? Haven't you blessed us with us? All the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily we should take out some time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked us to the kutub of the time. Allah, if we were not in this company, what we knew, what was the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did we know that there was a thing like the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We had our salah, we did everything, but it was just, and even up to now I'm speaking myself, it's just ritual, just routine. We come here, we learn. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these ni'mat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq of reciting Quran Sharif, or whatever the case may be. As our Shaykh was teaching us, that a person is in problems, and he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, my duas are not being accepted. How much dua must I make? Make dua all the time. The mere fact that Allah gave you tawfiq to lift your hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far better than this whole world and whatever it contains. That one time you say, Allah. One time you say, oh my Allah. That Allah gives you tawfiq to read 2 rakat salatul hajat. To pick up your hand in the darbar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This itself is His ni'mat. And when you will see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got for you in store, in view of all the du'as that you made, then you will wish that, if only all my du'as were not accepted in the world and reserved for the akhirah. So we should take out some time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to the discourse in the lecture of our beloved Shaykh, as it starts the bayan in respecting, addressing the women folks that my respected mothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the believers with various forms of ibadat. Various types of different types of worship. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it extremely easy for us to be engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, 24 hours of the day. We normally regard salah, roza to fast, zakat, etc. We regard this as different forms of ibadat. And undoubtedly, these are ibadat. This is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as it says, that iman itself is a very, very great ibadat, very great worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as a person is with iman and is a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the dua that Allah keep us with iman all the time so that we are in the ibadat all the time. Ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time as long as we have iman. We can very, very clearly understand that if a person, unfortunately, he's in kufr, he's in shirk, he's in disbelief, he's definitely in a great sin. So the curses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are descending upon such a person all the time because of his sin of kufr, because of his sin of shirk, of disbelief. Therefore, it is quite clear that if a person has got iman, then he is in ibadat. If he is in kufr and shirk, then he is in sin. So the opposite side, if he is in iman, he's got iman with him, then he is in ibadat all the time. So as long as the person is with iman, according to the degree and the level of his iman, he is in ibadat, he is in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can understand this as it says from the ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. That Allah is the friend of those people who have brought iman. With regard to the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, that Allah is saying, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, Allah is the friend. This friendship, this wilayah, this becoming a wali and being a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it starts from the point where a person brings iman. And normally and technically, we can call that person a wali, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already said, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, that Allah is the wali, Allah is the friend of the person who's got iman. So technically the person who's got iman is already a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reached a very high stage of iman. His wilayat, his friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also very, very great, and he's very, very close to him. Like how 30 children in class, in a classroom, they're writing an exam. One child, they all passed. One passed with 40%, one passed with 45%, one got 50%, one got 80%, one got 90%, one got 100%. They've all passed. But we'll say this person's got 100%. He's got the best pass. Like that iman also. We've all got iman. Somebody's iman is weak. Somebody's iman is strong. The more you do good action, iman becomes stronger. Iman becomes weaker and iman becomes stronger. So as long as you've got iman, already you are a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now you've got to build that friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from just the pass mark and try and take it to 100%. From the 40% is just the pass mark to get, I've got iman. But I've got to build it and make it stronger and stronger and stronger until it reaches a level of 100% inshaAllah ta'ala. So this iman, this wilayah, this friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very, very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it brings a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as is normally the case with us, one is just an ordinary acquaintance. Like Allah Hazrat Allah always gives that example, that you're at home and somebody came to the door. If it is an acquaintance, a person that you know who comes regularly, it's your brother, your uncle, your father who visits daily, just by them coming, just by listening to the footsteps or the way they drove the car up the driveway or some, you knew that Abba came or Chacha came or whatever the case may be, you know, because it's a you know the person, the acquaintance. And one is a person who came just once in a blue moon, you just came to visit. I will say, who is there? Who is there? Who is at the door? You don't know who the person is. Similarly, here, as is normally the case with us, one is just an ordinary acquaintance, while another one is a person whom we know very, very closely, and is one whom we call a true friend of ours. Similarly, when a person becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is now technically known as a friend. He is known as a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, every person who has brought iman, he has passed through the doors and has entered the real world, the realm of the friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this also, it is quite clear that when a person has brought iman, he is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is in a great ibadat, he is in close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Hazrat brings the aspect of sabr and shukr. These are ibadat, these are worships of the heart and of the mind. We know the bodily ibadat of reading salah, we make ruku, we make sajda, etc. But ibadat of the heart, to make sabr, to have patience, and to make shukr, to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are worships which pertain to the heart. Like when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam and asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam a few questions. He said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the people, the sahaba sitting around, did not know it was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, came in the form of a human being, asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam a few questions. He said, mal iman, what is iman? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that you should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should believe that I am the Rasul, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are things which pertain to the heart. Then he said, mal Islam, what is Islam? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you should read salah, you should keep fast, You should pay zakat and you should make hajj. So these are aspects which are done with the body, not with the heart. The heart has got iman. Belief is in the heart. And these are bodily aspects. These are bodily worship. So we see there's a difference. Like that, yeah, sabr and shukr, these pertain to the heart. Salat, zakat, fast, hajj, etc. These are bodily ibadat. But ibadat of the heart, to make sabr and to make shukr. These are two very, very great forms of ibadat which are granted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a physical ibadat, just like iman is not a physical ibadat. Namaz is a physical ibadat. Roza is a physical ibadat. Ibadat in the sense that we abstain from food and from drink. Hajj is a physical ibadat. Zakat is a monetary ibadat. But these are ibadat, these are worship, which have to do with the condition of our heart and with the condition of our mind. Iman is in the heart. Our quality of sabr, patience or steadfastness, as it is normally translated in English, we say that to be steadfast, sabr, patience, a person had a problem, now you stay steadfast, you don't complain, etc. This is how we will translate sabr in English. It is the condition of the heart which involves physical attitude as well. Shukr is also a condition of the heart, and it also includes physical attitude. So these are two great worships, great ibadat, and it was the kindness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed us as believers with these two great ibadat. In a hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ajaman li amri al-mu'min. Very, very, very fascinating is the matter of a believer. That all his matters, in all his matters, there's only goodness for him. No matter what aspect of life or what condition comes upon him, whatever condition he passes through, one is pleasing to him, one is displeasing to him, a condition comes upon him which makes him happy. Sometimes a condition comes upon him which makes him sad. He's got grief, he's got sorrow, somebody passed away, somebody got sick, there was a fire, whatever the case may be, a motor car accident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So sometimes conditions come, a person is pleased, a person is happy, joy, he's in happiness, and sometimes conditions come upon him that makes him sad and basically brings him grief. But both these conditions are very, very, very good for him. Why? In a sahabatul khair, that himself in goodness comes to him, then he makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't ascribe anything towards him. Our Shaykh says, at one time, he phoned our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Pakistan for something, and said that whatever, today this happened, and perhaps it happened because I read this Surah Yasin, whatever the case may be. Then Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and ta'alim for us all, this is a lesson for us all. Don't ever ascribe anything towards yourself. Ma asabakum min hasanatin famin Allah. Whatever goodness comes to you, you got tawfiq of reading salah, you got tawfiq of coming to the majlis, you got tawfiq of sitting in the masjid, of reading Quran Sharif, of giving charity, of propagating a good word, doing anything, this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any bad condition comes to you, anything which displeases you, ma asabakum min hasanatin famin Allah, wa ma asabakum min sayyatin famin nafsik. Anything which comes to you untoward, which is something which is not good, outwardly seems bad, that remember it is because of the doing of your own hand, because of your actions, because what you have sent ahead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is also the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sometimes He gives us that awakening, that reminds us that, oh my banda, come back to me. So here Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, very, very strange is the matter of a believer, that whatever condition comes upon him, there's only goodness for him. If a good condition comes upon him, he is happy and he makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if any other condition comes upon him, if something evil has to happen to him, something displeasing comes to him, then he makes sabr and this is also good for him. He makes shukr, it's good for him, and makes sabr, this is also good for him. So by making sabr, he is acquiring closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's acquiring reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the condition of a believer. Something good comes to him, he makes shukr, and he gains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And something which displeases him comes to him, he makes sabr on this condition, and this is also pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he makes sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him, and he gains the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with regard to our object in this world, we need to understand one basic thing, and that is our object in this world. So says, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let me and let us all understand this. Many times this question will occur to various people, that what is our purpose and what is our object in this world? And if you have to ask somebody who is very much involved in Jamaat, then that person will say, our object is to go out in the path of Allah. If you ask somebody who is engaged very closely in the madrasas and dini education, you will say perhaps our object is to acquire dini knowledge and to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you ask somebody who is in the line of tasawuf and zikr, you will say our object is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these other says are 100% correct, all in their place, they are right. But really, if we have to analyze everything, then our real object and real purpose in life is to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Sharif, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the greatest thing. Then Allah says, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Most certainly, that is the greatest success. ذَلِكَ هُوَ. هُوَ emphasis. ذَلِكَ pointing towards it to show emphasis. That I'm speaking about success. And هُوَ that success. The greatest, azim, very, very great. So this pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires us, this is our object of life. Whatever circumstance, whatever condition a person is, and whatever we are doing, we have to try to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us at this time, at this point in time, that will, in this condition, what will make my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. For example, if you are engaged in salah, which is the highest form of ibadat, and we see somebody walking in front of us who is a blind person, and about to fall into a well, or is about to get hurt, some harm is about to come to him, then at that time, our ibadat is not in salah. Our ibadat at that time is to break the salah and save that person from falling into the well, save him from any harm coming to him. Allah's pleasure, in other words, lies at that time not for us to be engaged in salah. Even though salah is the highest form of ibadat, but Allah's pleasure at that time is to break our salah and to help that person. So our object in life is to try and determine that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us at this specific moment and what will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is the greatest success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with understanding first of all, thereafter everybody else.